Welcome in. This is the TCFO podcast. Welcome in owners and enthusiasts. This is episode 10. We made it to Double Digits of season one in the seventh in the series of team analysis shows that we've been doing. This is going to be another great show. You can recognize that intro. Please tweet to at the TCFO podcast. I know, Brian, you probably know that one. Or email the TCFO podcast. No one got last week's, so just for your information, the intro was to the Dynasty Nerds podcast, so now you know another one to check out if you're interested. So we're ready to talk to another owner. In fact, this is original, the commissioner, in a get-to-know-you session, figure out his modeling tactics. So Toss Chairs here, once again joined by Zilla Perilla. How's it going, bro?
Hey, what's up?
And so today, as I mentioned, we're talking to the commish, the owner of the TCFL, manager extraordinaire, one of our oldest friends, the factory. Craig joins the podcast as the first repeat guest. Welcome again, factory.
Hey, thanks a lot. How's it going, guys?
Pretty going good. Well. So, you know, before we jump into TCFL talk, I think one thing that has come out just about this podcast in general is getting to know you segments. So, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself so people know you.
Sure. Well, most of the league knows me either from growing up in Redwood Falls or going to college at Buena Vista University. Buena Vista, I think, is how you say it properly because, you know, whatever. It's weird.
It's Iowa speak.
Yeah, yeah. And let's see, I lived a little bit with Zilla here after college in St. Paul, I guess we were in.
Yep.
Minneapolis border. I went to grad school at the U of M, and I have stayed here in Minneapolis since then. I'm a software developer, so, you know.
Excellent fellow nerd. Welcome.
Yeah.
Good. So just curious, what has been your favorite moment on the podcast series so far? Anything stand out to you?
There have been a lot of good ones. It was cool that you guys had Mike Choi on because, like you guys talked about, like none of us other than Nick have actually met him, so that's fun.
Right, I never heard his voice before until then.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah. And let's see, Nick and Steve were both great. Steve had a treasure trove of nicknames for me, so always nice.
That's right. So speaking of that, though, are you enjoying the new TCFO award name? Is it sticking? Are you
the Zippies?
Yeah, you okay with that?
I mean, it's fine. Nobody's called me Zippy probably since high school. I don't know.
Isn't it kind of an honor?
I guess. I'm honored. Yeah.
Good. That's the intent.
Yeah, good.
That's good. The award you get for all the hard work you put in as commissioner.
Sweet.
Awesome. Well, let's get into a little bit of your team history. I know we're a little short on time today, so some technical difficulties.
Hey, before we do that, I have one thing.
Folks. Yeah.
Well, there have been a lot of people reaching out and saying, can you please thank the commissioner for all the work he's done? So just on behalf of the league, thank you, commissioner, for all the work you've done.
Yes.
And yeah.
That should be
and
a
I was wondering when it comes to commissioner, what have you liked the best about being commissioner and what have you hated the most?
So I'll start with hated. Yeah, well, I mean, it's just like trying to like wrangle everybody to like, you know, get keepers in, you know, RSVP that they can actually make the draft, that sort of thing, can be a pain. And usually like the most exciting part is like, you know, getting the site set up for the next season, kind of like checking out everybody's keepers, thinking about, you know, trades that we can make to like, either prior to keepers or right at the beginning of the season, just to kind of set your roster. It's kind of the time of the year that the most people are looking at trades, right around keeper selection time. So that's kind of my favorite part of it.
Now, trades, by the way, need your approval. Have you ever vetoed a trade or?
I don't think so. And I think we switched to that. I think at some point we actually had a vote for it and one got voted down because like it was a tactical disadvantage for somebody. And so I was just like, well, that's not cool. Like it was a fair trade, whatever. So I just kind of like took it over. It's weird because it's a keeper league. So you'll see some trades that sometimes seem a little one-sided, mm-hmm. but you know, maybe this young guy is going to be amazing and it was totally worth, trading him for, you know, an old guy who's playing much better.
Right.
So usually everyone think about it.
Yeah.
You know, so just let him go through.
Yeah, that's my opinion too. I mean, if it's not,
if there was a situation where I really was worried about, you know, it being unbalanced, I'd probably, you know, talk to the league and just see what people thought about it.
Yeah. And what do you? And one more thing before we get into your team, you are instrumental in setting up this league, the rules, the scoring. Like, for example, 6 points for a passing touchdown is different. You know, just the keeping all of your starters is a little bit different than a lot of keeper leagues. Can you talk about how you decided to do that and come up with that?
Yeah, sure. So the 6 points per passing touchdown, I remember there was a fantasy football magazine back in the day, you know, we're talking late 90s or whatever, that was very pro positive points for all, like, the same points that the players get in the games, and then no negative points. Since then, like, almost all, like, sites have kind of gone to 4 points for passing touchdown, negative points for fumbles lost, interceptions, etc. And I would actually...
And a lot of them, some kind of PPR.
Yeah, yeah. I would actually love to kind of just reset our scoring. Part of that is like, I think like our defensive scoring is a little bit off. Like we can have like really high scoring defenses, which happens in other leagues too, but that and the QB stuff, you can have like a gunslinger quarterback who just throws a lot. And even if he's throwing a bunch of interceptions, it doesn't matter too much. So I'm kind of,
right.
I'm going to bring that up to everybody kind of see if we can reset things going into next season.
Yeah, it's always difficult to do because people maybe have built their teams around some of those rules.
So you always want to do it in the off season, give people kind of a heads up. And I don't know. I mean,
Before keepers are in, give people a chance. I don't mind it. Let's go for some rule changes. It's fun.
Brian, you were asking about like keeping the whole starting lineup. To me, that was a little bit of a compromise. I really wanted to do like a full dynasty league, but I knew I couldn't get guys to form a league with a full dynasty. And I thought the full roster was kind of like a fun thing where instead of everybody keeping two running backs or maybe a running back and a receiver, now you got guys who are holding on to their tight ends, their defenses, whatever. And I think it makes it a little bit more fun because you have these guys that you've got for season after season who really like are kind of part of your team identity. So I don't know. I really enjoyed that. And actually I'm very happy with it now. And I maybe would consider playing in a dynasty league at some point, but I'm pretty happy with the way we have things set up.
Yeah. I actually agree. I was one of the ones resistant to it because I thought the draft was always so fun every year and wanted a full draft every year. And I have totally changed my mind. Like, this is, it's for me, the most fun league ever. And being able to kind of hold on to your guys definitely gives you more of a connection to them. So that's becomes a lot more fun year to year, in my opinion.
Yeah, that you don't see many leagues, I think, like this that that have all keep a whole starting roster. And then in addition to that, I mean, the actual spots, you know, two running backs, two wide receivers, and then the ability to you know, hoard those or trade them off at the end of the year because you know that and just puts a different element strategy into it, which I like.
The strategy around your keepers and draft picks and all that, I think it's a lot of fun.
All right, thanks. We can get into the team now, Eric.
Yes. All right, cool. Let's go to a little team history here. So I think you've only had two team names in your history. One is the Crazy 88s. Where'd that come from?
Kill Bill.
In Kill Bill.
Good, I get to find another drop. I get to find another drop.
Yeah. Kill Bill, Crazy 88s were like this, crazy like Japanese like gang or something. I don't know. They were yellow. I think my logo back then was Uma Thurman and her yellow Kill Bill outfit.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. And I think I know where the factory comes from, but why don't you tell us a little bit about that one?
It seemed like it made sense to switch.
But by that, you mean where they produce guys and then you drop them out of the pool, pick them up, and they're really good.
Yeah. We're kind of a farm team.
Yeah.
You were producing a lot of
performed like a farm team this past year, too.
So.
The factory was really good there for a while. I don't remember. I had the stat a little while ago, but I think it was had the best record in the league like 5 or 6 years in a row,
mm-hmm.
and won one championship during that time.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys belong together. So you have won or only one TCFL championship. That was in 2009. You finished 10th last year, so you got a good draft pick coming into this year, unless you plan on trading him away. You've had three second place finishes, and actually two of those were back to back in, let me look it up here, in 2012 and 2013. So brutal second place finishes. And you've actually also had two thirds. So what is that? 3-2-1 That's six of the 15 years you've been in the top.
When you get first round bye year after year, you can play pretty poorly in the playoffs and still get third place.
It's like a half a factory. So. All right, and you've got to me, it looks like about the sixth overall ranked team according to the keeper rankings that I look at, so should be right in there again with the draft picks that you have. Who knows?
Yeah, a little bit better sure than last year. Going into last season, I was like, "Oh God, what am I doing?" And I think I spent two. Yeah, I got two rookie running backs. I think in the first couple of rounds, maybe the first three rounds. Rashad Penny was the guy who I was like hoping would be good. I think I drafted him first, and he was, supposedly going to step in and start in Seattle, and ended up barely seeing the field. And then I got Nick Chubb. He must have been round two. Maybe it was round three. I don't remember, but probably round two. And he didn't.
Yeah, I can't remember when that was because you took him right in front of me.
And he didn't do much early on, but yeah, then
was,
he kind of...
That was round two.
Oh, cool, yeah. And then he kind of found his stride and started actually producing. And so I was super excited about him going into this year, and then they go and sign, what's his name?
Kareem Hunt.
Violent man extraordinaire. But, hopefully, Nick Chubb can... establish himself early, and I can trade him before. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I mean, once they got rid of Carlos Hyde, Nick Chubb became it.
Yeah.
So that's good. All right. So. Chance here to kind of figure out.
Let me see. Jameis Winston, I had him for a few years, and he's kind of an idiot, but every once in a while he's just got amazing, he puts up amazing games. I think the year I decided to keep him, he had like a 6-touchdown game, and he had a couple like 400-yard games. The whole season wasn't amazing, but it was like it was a lot, and he was young, so I was like, okay, awesome, I'll keep him. And then he's just been like so-so and missing games and whatever since then. So last year I was kind of looking for a young QB to fill in or whatever. So I grabbed Goff, and he was actually, you know, kind of amazing at times. Played for a very good team, and every once in a while he'd, I think he had a couple games with 5+ touchdowns, something like that. And yeah, so looked pretty brilliant. Kind of cooled off at the end of the year. But yeah, I'm still pretty excited about him. Yeah, and I'm not entirely sure what I'm going to do here, but Goff is probably the front runner after last year's performance.
Yeah, I would think so. That's for sure. Wide receivers, obviously Keenan Allen is a pretty nice piece for you. So who knows about Rivers? He's kind of, I guess both of them are kind of mid to late career, but he's still the number one there.
Yeah, I can hear you all right.
Can you hear me?
Rivers?
All right.
Do I have Rivers? Oh, gotcha.
No, but just with Keenan Allen.
Yeah. No, so Allen, he's been awesome for me. Other than when he misses games. So he had a, you know, a couple seasons where he missed a bunch of games, but like, yeah, when he plays, he is solid and usually like producing pretty well.
I would guess your other keeper is probably Corey Davis.
You know, he's another guy who like he'll have a game where you're just like, oh my god, he has arrived, and then the next game he'll have like 27 yards and 2 catches and. Yeah.
The next 4 games.
That might be quarterback related too. I mean,
but you know, the quarterback switches and everybody's like, "Oh, now it'll be great and he'll have a good game and then it'll be done." So, I mean, I'm hopeful for him too, but you know, you never know. I saw that the Patriots signed Demaryius Thomas and I was like, "Do I still have him on my team?" No, I don't.
I don't know if anybody does right now.
I'm sure nobody does. He'll probably be a high draft pick if he is actually doing anything in the preseason.
Yep. Well, we got to come to a sad part of your team. It's the end of an era. Talk to the listeners about what Gronk's meant to the factory.
Awesome to have a guy who really produces at the typically lower, at a typically lower scoring position. So having a consistent tight end is so valuable. I mean, he was a big part of why the factory was good for so many years. He's looked a little rough the last couple of years. Not his usual self. But he might come back, everybody. So if anybody is looking to trade for Rob Gronkowski,
wow.
Boy, late round draft pick could probably do it.
You never know. That, if that WWE career doesn't work out, he may be back.
Yeah.
Have you seen his acting? He kind of wants to go into acting, I guess. I don't know. He's not. He hasn't had the best, like, roles and commercials, in my opinion, but he needs some lessons, I think. Anyway, so but you got Hunter Henry though to
basically step right in there. Hunter Henry last year, knowing that he was, you know, starting the year on IR and likely out for the whole year, and I was like, well, Gronk had hinted about retirement the year before, and I was like, you know, I need somebody young, and we'll just go for the potential keeper guy instead of somebody who will help me out that year. I'm hoping that he kind of regains the form he showed. Is that his rookie year? Is he only a third year guy now?
He's played 2 years.
He showed some promise early, and he's obviously on a good passing team. So, I'm hopeful. As with all of these guys.
Excellent. So what do you think about some opportunities for your team? Building up some depth, I think, maybe, and just making sure you use your draft picks, right? So, what else do you think?
I mean, I'm probably going to still kind of focus on young players this year. Like I was saying with a bunch of these guys, I'm just like, I'm hopeful that they work out, but they're not quite consistent performers yet. So I'll probably still be looking to fill in with younger guys. And I haven't really looked at the incoming draft class too much yet. So not sure what will really be available and who will have opportunities and all that.
Yeah, the NFL draft's in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Figure out a lot more then.
So,
yeah, like 2 weeks from tomorrow, I think.
Exciting. Time to start paying attention, see who might fill in a starting role and all that.
Yep. Yeah, so another thing we usually talk about is trades, but you didn't participate in any last year. So I don't know if it was a bunch of bad offers thrown your way or just not too interested in
it. At one point, you offered me a first round pick or maybe one of your top running backs for Gronk, and I was an idiot and I was like, no, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I think I offered you Jordan Howard and Jordan Reed maybe or something for Gronk at one point. You didn't take it, which actually I don't blame you. Those guys suck, but
yeah,
but you had some offers for him.
Yeah, so I probably should have traded Gronk last year, but other than that, like, I just, like, my team didn't really have, you know, the assets. I don't have a strength at any one position where I can afford to give up somebody.
Right. That's that depth piece.
Yeah, yeah. Usually trades are a lot easier when you're a little off-balanced in your strengths. You know?
Right. So,
not an issue I had last year.
All right, let's flip it on over to the lightning
round. Okay, first question is best or favorite ad you've ever had? Free agent ad. Could be any year. It doesn't have to be this past year.
I'll probably – trades too?
Not yet. Nope, trade's a different question. Right. So it'll just be an ad, free agent ad or drop.
Oh, actually, I know who. Maurice Jones-Drew. I added Maurice Jones-Drew his rookie season. Nobody drafted him. And yeah, he was consistent for me for, I don't know, 5-6 years. So yeah, he was a solid pickup. Very happy with him.
How about worst ad or drop? Like, you know, for example, Tom Brady.
Yeah, I was trying to look back to see if I had actually traded him or not. And no, what I did was Brady was coming off a 25 touchdown season. It was like the worst season he had within like 12 seasons or something like that.
Yeah.
And Nick Foles had just had 27 touchdowns in 10 games that he started.
Mm.
And he was a Pro Bowler. So I traded, I think, Chris, I traded for Nick Foles and I'm like, well, I'm good. And actually in that trade, I got Keenan Allen too. So I'm like, well, I'm good here. I got a younger guy. He just came off an amazing season. I think it was 27 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. And I'm like, okay, Brady, you've been awesome. I'm done with you. You're old. I'm sure you're and, and then Brady goes on to have, you know, 10 more 30 touchdown seasons. And he's like, still.
So that's any others, or is that?
Well, Des Bryant. I think you got both of them.
Oh, guys. Right. Yeah. Yeah. A little factory.
Both benefited you.
One where I had him his rookie year and he was like, you know, he'd have a good game here or there. And it's just like, he's not doing enough. He's not consistent. So I dropped him and then, you know, he got amazing.
Yeah. But only for a little bit. He flamed out quick.
Probably a good 5 years.
Probably.
You know,
pretty consistent.
Yeah.
Memorable trade then. Any, Keenan Allen sounds like it might have been a memorable trade. I don't remember who you traded for. Traded out.
I don't even remember who I gave up for that one. That one was less memorable. So the most memorable was with Eric. I think it was a first and a second rounder. Maybe even like first, second, third. At the time, it was kind of like, I don't think anybody had done like a multiple early draft picks for anything. So I traded, I think, a first, second, and a third for the first overall pick.
Mm.
It was Adrian.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
So Adrian Peterson's rookie year, I got him, and I was like, you know, just trying to go for a solid hometown guy. He was very good for a number of years. My second favorite trade was trading Peterson away to Brian for Doug Martin, which, you know, wasn't all that much. Murray had a couple of really good years there, but I think it was right before Peterson decided to start beating his children.
Was suspended that next year.
I traded right when the wheels started to fall off. That was I tried to make that timing work with Brady too, but that
So you took advantage of both Tough Brothers for, you know, one of the greatest running backs in Minnesota history. So hometown hero.
Plenty of times too. So
I don't know. Player you've ever owned?
All right.
So Gronk, maybe. Maurice Jones-Drew, maybe. Those guys were kind of like solid that, you know, weren't like the top tier scorer, whatever. Brady, so good for so long. Maybe my favorite though was Kevin Jones.
What? Over Peterson?
Kevin Jones.
Running back. I drafted him like late, his rookie year or something like that. And I was like, oh, this guy's gonna be awesome. And then he just like he built himself up to being like a top running back. And then he like immediately like ruined his foot and it hurt a lot.
Let's say, who the hell is Kevin Jones? I don't remember.
He's like, oh, I did this right. I got him young. I'm like, and it's before, like, you know, I had any success. So, like, I don't know. I was just wrapped up in this, you know, young running back and, that, you know, whatever.
I'm just glad you didn't say Kevin Barlow.
You know, I think that wasn't that prior to that? Was that this league?
I'm pretty sure that was early on in this league.
Oh, yeah, that was this league.
Where he destroyed me.
Yep. Starting Kevin Jones and Kevin Barlow or something like that.
Probably. Okay, last question. Who do you consider your rival in this league?
Ben joined up, so, like, you know, it's sibling rivalry always, but probably you, Brian, because we have been in our division, we've kind of been the two better teams for most of the time there. And Chris has been, he's really turned that team around to make a pretty solid team.
And Ben obviously is amazing now.
And Ben's good now. So we've got a, you know, strong division, but, you know, for the longest time is you and I battling it out for the top spot there. So.
Yeah, I would agree. In fact, there's those times where you, if I would only have 2 wins all year and it was against you, I'd consider it a satisfactory year. So,
pretty good year, yeah.
So I agree. We both consider each other rivals. That's good. It started probably in Base Wars on Nintendo, and now it's graduated to this. So,
Base Wars, that was a great game.
I feel like we ran a league like off of a spreadsheet or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Probably a notebook. It was probably pretty spreadsheet.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I don't think it was computer. So, yeah. Anyway, that was all. That's lightning round. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, thanks, Craig. Thanks for joining us. One of the oldest friends, a commissioner of the TCFL.
Yeah,
appreciate you having on. Thanks, Craig. Thanks for joining the podcast. Thanks for my co-host as usual. At Toft Brian on Twitter, at Eric Toft, you can find me. And Craig is at McCregorZ. Look him up, tweet him away, tell him how good a job he did. Also tweet him some trade offers if you wouldn't mind. Gronk is a highly sought after asset at this point. So, again, you can find the podcast on Twitter at the TCFL Podcast. Also, you can email the TCFL Podcast at gmail.com. Answer the question at the beginning of the episode, and let's have fun with it. So, thanks again, and we will talk later. Bye.